It's been a while, but I'm coming. You're listening to Sparking Spiritual Growth. Welcome. This is the podcast that builds a Christian faith through looking at lessons from the Bible and helping apply them in the real world. It's where the Bible intersects everyday life. This is episode 2. We're taking a look at how John saw Jesus and how that applies to us in our lives. Hello, welcome back. We're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. I'm going to go ahead and read that. We can get it in the context here. We can see what's going on. This is when John the Baptist was approached by people, asking him questions about who he was. He says, "Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose.'" Now there are several things that we can see in that passage, and there's one thing that stands out to me overall, and that is the idea of worth, the idea of value, that the way that John saw Jesus was that he saw him as someone who is superior to himself. So Jesus, he recognized that Jesus is someone who he says, "I'm not even worthy to untie this man's shoes. There's nothing that I can add to him. He is everything, and he is greater than I am." That's John's words, and that shows that he chose to prefer him. And, you know, there's a lot of things we could say about that, but one of the things that we need to make sure we understand is the application for us. It's very easy to see that we must also prefer Jesus before ourselves. He is preferred before me. And that's an attitude that he had. It's not something that he necessarily told his followers to do. I mean, yes, that was his intention, was to say that Jesus is greater, you should follow him. And he would say, you know, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He would tell people to follow Jesus. But when he was saying that, it was more in a relationship to how he saw himself in relationship to Jesus, or perhaps that and how other people should see him. But he certainly recognized that Jesus is one who is preferred before him, that Jesus is one who should be preferred before him. And the reason that we'll see in other passages, in fact, it's this kind of phrase is used three times just in a few short verses in John chapter 1. He said that in the first part of this chapter, let's see, starting at verse 15, "John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" So we have this here where he says he was preferred before me, for he was before me. Then we read what I just read earlier when we first started. He says, "It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose." And then he goes on in around verse 33. At verse 33, he says, "I did not know him, but at verse 32, it says, "John bore witness and saying, 'I saw the Spirit.'" No. Chapter 1 and verse 30 says, "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who's preferred before me, for he was before me.'" So there's an indication here of worth and value, a recognition that Jesus is much greater than John, and John understands that. And that's something that is a sign of humility. And it's something that we need to develop in ourselves too. If we ever hope to have any growth, you know, of our spirit, we have to put proper things in the proper order. Because if growth all becomes only about me and what I can get, and I'm not thinking about in terms of growth relating to the right that Jesus has to see certain things in my life, I'm not going to grow the way he wants me to grow. I'll grow the way I want to grow. And that's a problem, or it can be a problem. And so when he says that he's not worthy, that John says he himself is not worthy to untie the shoes that Jesus wears, he is showing there a perception of value that Jesus is so much greater. Sometimes that's hard for us to accept, that someone else might be greater than us, because we always We want to believe that we are all equal, that we're all the same greatness level. But when we think about it, there are people who are greater than us. There are people who have done greater things. There are people who are just better people. And maybe you listening, you may think, well, there's no one better than me, but than you, I mean. But for myself, I can easily see that there are people who they've developed themselves in a better way. Their character is stronger than mine and things like this that I look, people that I look up to. And if I look up to them, it's because they stand taller than I do. So it's not about degrading ourselves. Sometimes I think Christians believe that humility is all about putting yourself down. But that's not what John was doing. He wasn't saying that, hey, I'm such a terrible person, I can't even tie Jesus' shoes. No, he was elevating Jesus. So Jesus saw John as a great man. The people that came out of the woodwork to hear him speak, they saw him as a great man. And he says, there's one coming after me. I can't even untie that man's shoes because this is how much greater he is. And that's in the middle. That's kind of a sandwich. And on, you know, that's the meat of the sandwich. And on both sides of that sandwich, the bread, he says, he gives the explanation, not just of value, but also the value and the reason for that value. Both times on, you know, of the three, two of the three times this statement is made about Jesus, he always qualified it by saying, because he was before me. That's a reference to the divinity of Jesus. It doesn't say that John knew Jesus, but it seems undoubted. You know, it just seems like he couldn't not know who Jesus was. They were related, right? So he probably at least knew who Jesus was. We can see that because when Jesus went to be baptized by John, John looked at him and said, wait a minute, I'm needing to be baptized by you, and you're asking me to baptize you? See, this was, it baffled him because he knew what kind of a man Jesus was. It wasn't because Jesus was glowing when he walked up to John. John knew who this man was. He knew his character. He knew his nature. So having understood that, he knows who he is, and he also knows that John is actually 6 months older than Jesus. Okay, so John, being 6 months older than Jesus, recognizes that, would have to recognize that he is older than Jesus. And yet John said, he came before me, or he was before me. So he is recognizing, there's a statement of recognition that Jesus existed before John existed. Now, if you think about conception and all how all that works as far as the soul and the spirit and how it's entered into the body, and it doesn't really say a whole lot about it, about how God does that. But we can surmise and we can put pieces together and say that when a cell, an egg, becomes fertilized, a living being is created and a soul enters in that at that point. I don't know how God does that, but he does. And so the soul is entered into the body, the spirit enters into the flesh, and that is the first time that spirit is also created, right? So it's not like we have a well of souls, or God has a well of souls up in heaven, and he says, oh, somebody's about to be conceived, so he takes one of the souls out of the well and places it in the womb as soon as conception happens. No, conception is part of how the soul is produced, right? We are not just a soul with a body, and we're not just a body with a soul. We are both body and soul together. But when Jesus came into the world, he didn't come in the way that we do, because he was not born of a normal mother and father. He was born from above. And because of that miraculous conception, he entered into this world. He became flesh. And that's when the spirit entered into that cell. Now, I don't have any idea beyond that how to explain it. And I know that there's not really anything we can look at that gives us any more information. Maybe it's one of those mysteries that we will look into when we all get to heaven. So we're looking around asking questions. That'll be one of the things we can ask. How did that work? What did you actually do? But we know that he existed before. John says that in the first part of this chapter. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In fact, he said, everything that was made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus has been there. He is the Word there. We know that because in verse 14 of chapter 1, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this is the one that John saw and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That same person is the Word who became flesh. So Jesus took on flesh, and He was born a human being, just like we are, but His Spirit existed before that. And that's something that's unique. It's never been the case that a human being was born, or a human being was conceived, where the soul already existed. There's no evidence that our souls have already existed from eternity. It's created, and part of that reasoning is because we know that we're not eternal. But Jesus is. And so John can then say, this is part of that evidence that we're not eternal, John can say, "He was before me," right? So John understood that Jesus was a being of divinity, and I don't know how much he understood, but he did understand that. That phrase indicates that he knew Jesus came, existed before John existed, even though John was older. So the reference then shows that John believed the reason that Jesus was so far above him that John couldn't even untie his shoes was part of it was character, but it also related to the fact that he understood that Jesus is eternal, that he's always been, and that when he came, he was already in existence before John was ever conceived. That means he's greater. And when we recognize this, it's not a matter of, like I said, it's not just a matter of character, although it's really difficult to talk about character without understanding that that's part of the nature of God. It's part of his nature. But we understand character as something that we develop over time, right? And Jesus had to grow. I mean, Luke says that he grew. And he grew, he learned, he grew in favor with God and man. He grew in stature, and because of that, he added attributes to himself that he didn't have before. But we're also talking about the characteristics or the nature of God who comes in the flesh, and that's what John is focusing on, I believe, when looking at that. Okay, so what does that mean for us? The point is that he recognized that Jesus is superior to him because of the very nature of who Jesus is. And of course, because of the nature of who Jesus is, he had the character that went with it as well. And we need to recognize that also. So any of our plans, anything that we're doing, we're looking forward to the future, we're thinking about, you know, whatever, it may be that we're contemplating a new job, it may be that we're contemplating getting married, it may be contemplating having children or retiring, whatever it is that we're doing. When we're looking at what's important, we also need to remember who is most important. And the only way we can actually grow in the proper way is to recognize that Jesus is the one who is more important than ourselves. So we are to deny ourselves and follow him. Now, thankfully, in following him, all of our needs will be supplied, that we'll be taken care of. He said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." What's the all things there? In the context, he's talking about the things that we need to live, the things that we eat, the things that we wear. All these things will be provided for us. In other words, we don't have to worry about taking care of ourselves if we're putting Jesus first, because he will be there to help us. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean we don't have to get a job or anything like that. We do have to take care of ourselves, but we're talking about priorities, remember? It is possible for us to have more than one priority. So we have a number one priority, and then we have a number two priority, and we have a number three priority. And as long as whatever those other priorities are, the Bible does talk about proper priorities. But whatever those other ones are, the first one has to be Jesus. And Jesus was asked himself, what was the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And of course, that is talking about the Father and Jesus being a part of the Father. He's being a part of the Godhead. We love him. We recognize his superiority over us. Now, the book of Proverbs, for example, several times says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So if we understand God properly, we put him in his proper place, we can have wisdom. But it only begins as we understand who he is. So Jesus must be preferred before us. As I said before, our modern culture really doesn't think about the fact that other people are greater than us. We look around and say, hey, don't let anyone look down on you. Don't let yourself think that you're inferior to anyone else. Now, there is truth to that. We are all equal. But at the same time, we also recognize that some people do better things than us. And sometimes people just they live a better life than we might live. It doesn't mean that we're inherently less valuable or they're inherently greater value, more valuable, but we recognize that. But it's a completely different level when you're talking about the situation with Jesus, because now it's not just a matter of, okay, we can all be pretty close to the same, and whoever has great character, that doesn't mean that they're superior in the sense that I could never achieve what they've achieved or I could never be who they are. I can have great character too. So if I see people who are better than me, who are greater than me, I can have the same characteristics as they do as well. And that's something we need to recognize. Now, I'm not talking about money and wealth, that kind of thing. We are all going to have differences in that. And I may never be able to be rich, but I can be rich in other things that are far more important, right? But when I'm looking at Jesus, there are things about Jesus that I can never possibly hope to be. But I can be like him. I can strive to be more in tune with his nature and his character. I can take on the characteristics of God, but I will never be eternal. I'll never be one who has always been and who has ultimate power and has the greatest of all wisdom and greatest of all knowledge. That is not me, and it will never be me, but it always is God. And we recognize that, we can learn. This is the point that John was making. It wasn't to berate people and say, you people are so terrible, but here's a great one. It was to elevate in our minds, in our mind's eye, what it is that we should be striving for. And if we keep Jesus in the forefront of our mind and understand who he is and understand his nature and his character, and we'd strive to be like him. See, we all need heroes. And all the heroes that I know of in the world, that the world has created, they have difficulties and problems. They're not perfect, but Jesus is perfect. And so we have this wonderful visualization of what we should be striving to be. And you become what you think about. And not only that, we just recognize the rightness of it, right? We need to recognize that it is just right that he gets the glory and the credit. So practically speaking, though, it's easy for us to say, hey, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is greater than I am. And then we're kind of done. But I don't want to stop there, because if we really believe that Jesus is who he claims to be, and we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he is God in the flesh, then obviously that should change our lives. It should change the way we perceive and the way we approach problems and difficulties and even the good times that we have. Our lives should change as a result of this information. So when Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? We have a pretty clear picture of how we should be using this information. He's greater than me. That must affect my life. There's no other way that it can be. If he's so much greater than I am, he is to be preferred over me. That means I prefer him and his ways over my own ways. That is exactly the way it should be. Now, because of that, I'm going to be looking to him for all the answers. I'm going to be looking to him for wisdom and guidance on how would Jesus do this if he were in my shoes. When we ask those kinds of questions, we're going to find better answers about how to live. And of course, we know that we can find those answers not by assuming or not by looking up into heaven and praying for an instant zap of information. We can just go to the Bible. We can see what Jesus did. And sure, pray about understanding it, yes. But We look at the Word of God, and the Word of God can show us exactly what it takes for us to be the kind of people that we need to be, to make the right decisions, the right choices. But it all begins with getting the proper perspective of who really is the most important. Who is the one we're trying to please in life? It should not be ourselves. It should always be Jesus that we're looking to. Why? Because this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, because he was before me. Now, if we believe that Jesus is before us, then we also need to believe that he is greater. And we believe that he is the one who should have the preeminence in our lives. So I want to challenge you today to think about your life and how you should live in accordance with what Jesus said. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? That's what Jesus thinks about our relationship with him. We need to listen. And as loving and caring as he is always willing to take us in. He also expects us to look to him and obey. Well, thank you for listening. I hope that you'll tune in next time as we talk more about how we can grow spiritually.